Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking about stories a lot lately, mostly because as part of this sermon series, Food for the Journey, God's Feast of Memory and Hope, I've been thinking a lot about how the Eucharist tells God's story. But as I've been thinking about stories, I've thought about the fact that there are many stories that we can identify just by the first sentence. So I need a little bit of participation as I read several first sentences, and you tell me the story that it comes from. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities, yes. Once upon a time, a little girl named Laura traveled in a covered wagon across the giant prairie. Little House on the Prairie, exactly right. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were normal. Thank you very much. Harry Potter, yes. Call Me Ishmael. Moby Dick. Okay, last but not least. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole filled with the ends of worms and an oozy smell, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on or to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. Lord of the Rings, it comes from The Hobbit, the first book in The Lord of the Rings. You did good. So there are many stories that we can identify by their first line. But if you think about it, we categorize stories not by their beginning, but by their ending. So if everyone dies in the movie, we would call it a tragedy. Or if the couple in the story end up together and get married, that's a happily ever after kind of story, maybe a rom-com. The point is that how a story ends determines how we make sense of it. It determines what the whole story means. Dear ones, God's story ends beautifully. And even though the end of that story is not yet, we are assured in Christ of its ending. God's story doesn't end with death, it ends with resurrection. God's story doesn't end with my funeral or your funeral or the world's funeral. It ends with the marriage supper of the Lamb. The great feast that we've been reading about in Isaiah 25 when Christ returns and makes all things right and new. And all people will feast on the finest foods and wine, and God will swallow up death forever. Almost always, we read or focus on just a few verses of Scripture at a time. It's not that often that we think about Scripture as a whole. But when we do, we can see that God's story has a gracious beginning, a saving middle, and a glorious end. God's story from beginning to end is a story of steadfast love and faithfulness, a story of unending grace and mercy, and it's a story that can be told with food as the thread woven throughout all of its pages. The Bible begins and ends with meals, and it has meals all throughout the middle. The first words that God spoke to humankind are an invitation to eat of the plants that God provided for them. And the final vision of Scripture is of the renewed and restored world when Jesus fully and completely brings the kingdom of God to earth. And that vision is of a massive and joyful banquet, the feast to come. And then throughout all of the middle of God's story is meal after meal, story after story of how God uses food to show love and care for God's people. Today's Old Testament lesson reminds us that throughout the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, God fed them daily with manna in the morning and quail at night. Just a few chapters later in Exodus, we read about when God supplied them water from the rock. Throughout the Gospels, God continued to provide food for God's people in and through Jesus. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was turning a large amount of water into wine. Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he went to Zacchaeus' house to eat with Zacchaeus. In fact, Jesus ate with so many tax collectors and sinners that he was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of the wrong sort of people. But the truth is that Jesus sat and ate with countless people throughout his life and his ministry. And as he did, he shared with them table fellowship, and he offered them love and dignity and grace. And then even after his resurrection, Jesus continued to eat with his disciples as he fixed for them breakfast on the beach in John's gospel. And at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus was only made known to the travelers on the way to Emmaus through the breaking of bread. Beloved, food is woven throughout the pages of God's story, finding its culmination in the Eucharist, in the meal of Holy Communion, in the meal in which Jesus becomes the very food that we eat. God not only continues to provide for us daily food, God continues to provide for us nourishment and comfort and forgiveness as we come to the Lord's table and receive the very presence of Christ in the bread and wine. Week in and week out, God gives us food for the journey through which God strengthens us and transforms us with the very presence of Jesus so that we can become the presence of Jesus for the world. In this feast of memory and of hope, God's story is shared with us again every Sunday as we remember when we come to this table the countless meals that God has provided for God's people in the past. And we simultaneously look forward with hope to the feast that God will provide for all people when Christ comes again. And until that day, we continue to feed on the body of Christ, to become his body in a world that deeply hungers for his presence. And just like that, God's story, ours becomes one that can be told with God's gift of food woven throughout its pages. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.